The rest of the night passed quietly. Frank didn't see either Carmen or Antonio before he went to his cell-like chamber and climbed into bed, leaving the bandana tied around his tender ankle. He slept soundly. By the next morning, when Frank untied the bandana, the swelling had gone down some. For today, though, he pulled on the moccasins instead of his boots. When Frank came into the dining room, he found Carmen sitting at the table, the remains of her breakfast still in front of her as she sipped on a cup of coffee. She greeted him with a smile.
Buenos dias, Señor Morgan. How did you sleep?
Passable. And you, Señorita?
Not well. I kept hearing the crack of the whip and those cries of pain, even in my dreams.
Do you know how that man is doing this morning?
As well as can be expected, I suppose. The Indian women cleaned his wounds and dressed them with an ointment they make from plants that grow in the hills. My father checked on him this morning and said that he will recover, but I think it will take a long time, and the poor man's spirit may never be the same again. Ah, it was a dreadful thing. I could not watch it. Hearing it was bad enough.
Probably good that you went back inside, Señorita. There's nothing you could do to stop it.
Antonio tells me that you stepped in to stop it, Señor Morgan, when the sergeant tried to exceed the 5 lashes Captain Estancia ordered.
The fella must have lost count.
I do not think so. Many of the rurales are brutal men. They like to inflict pain. Did you notice their sombreros?
I suppose. What about them?
Did you see how some of the sombreros were gray to match the uniforms, but many of them were black?
I reckon you're right. But what does that mean?
Most of the men who serve in the rurales were recruited from prisons in Mexico City and elsewhere. They are given the choice of serving the sentences they have received for their crimes either behind bars or in the Gendarmería Fiscal, which is the official name for the rurales. It is said that any such prisoner who has been convicted of murder receives a black sombrero when he joins the rurales.
Then more than half of the men in the troop are murderers.
See? And those are the men who are supposed to bring law and order to our land.
What about Captain Estancia?
Rurale officers are first officers in the regular army. They are often aristocrats, not at all the same class as the cutthroats and brigands who make up the men they command. But that does not mean that they cannot be every bit as brutal and ruthless.
Last night at dinner, you seemed to be playing up to Captain Estancia. Why would you do that if you don't like him?
The captain wields great power in this region. Great power. It is best not to anger or defy him. A pleasant smile, and he rides on without seeking to humble us. At least, not too much.
Did the rurales leave this morning?
Yes, they are off on their... How do you Norte Americanos say it? Their wild goose chase.
After the black scorpion?
See, as if they would ever stand a chance of catching the black scorpion.
Pretty slick bandit, is he?
Pretty slick, yes. A bandit? Who knows?
Ah, buenos dias, Señor Morgan. I trust you are well this morning.
Not bad. I hear the rurales are gone.
Si. Capitan Estancia and his men rode out a short time ago.
And you were happy to see them go?
As any honest man would be.
That's about the way I feel, too. Captain seemed like a first-class son of a... pardon me, Señorita.
Indeed. Have you had breakfast, Señor Morgan?
Not yet.
I will tell Esteban to see to it, Papa.
Gracias. And after you have eaten, Señor, would you feel like riding?
You want me to leave?
On the contrary. I wish to show you my rancho, if you will indulge an old man's pride.
I'd be pleased to see your ranch, Don Felipe.
Meet me at the main corral, then, in 30 minutes.
I'll be there.
When he reached the corral after breakfast, Frank found Don Felipe waiting for him, as promised. Almanzar stood beside a huge black stallion, and Stormy was hitched to the corral fence, too, already saddled and ready to ride. The Appaloosa tossed his head when he saw Frank. Wolf sat nearby, his tongue lolling from his mouth and his tail swishing back and forth in the dust.
I hope it is all right that I took the liberty of having one of my vaqueros saddle your horse.
That's fine, as long as he didn't get a finger or two nipped off in the process. Stormy can be a mite feisty at times.
I think my man emerged uninjured. A Mexican can handle any horse, Senor Morgan. The talent is in our blood.
Frank untied the reins, grasped them loosely in his hands, and swung up into the saddle. Don Felipe mounted the black stallion, and the two men turned the horses away from the fence. Wolf trotted along behind them. The morning passed very pleasantly. Frank and Don Felipe rode through high pastures, alongside cold, sparkling streams, and through stands of dark green, aromatic pine. The cattle had already been moved down to the flatland for the winter, so the hills seemed strangely deserted, as if this morning was the very morning of their existence. Don Felipe had brought tortillas and a small pot of beans with him in his saddlebags. At midday, he and Frank stopped beside a stream and had a cold but satisfying lunch. When they were done, Don Felipe brought out a bottle of pulque. He and Frank sat on rocks and passed it back and forth, taking swigs of the fiery liquor.
You have a fine ranch here, Don Felipe. I'm honored that I was able to visit it.
I wish your visit had not been marred by such unpleasantness, Senor Morgan. First the attack on you, then the encounter with a mountain lion.
I don't mind that, because it meant I got to meet Señorita Carmen.
And then the business with Captain Estancia and the Rurales.
From what I saw, and from what Carmen told me, folks around here don't like the Rurales.
Carmen should not speak of such things.
Many of the men who ride for Estancia are convicts. Murderers, judging by their black sombreros.
It is true. Most of the Rurales are worse scum than the bandits from which they are supposed to protect us. But what can we do? El Presidente has sent them up here to police the frontier.
I reckon all you can do is try to stay on their good side.
You think I allowed Estancia to have that vaquero whipped because I was afraid?
You weren't afraid for yourself, but you were concerned about the men who ride for you and their families, as any good patron would be.
See, I knew that if Estancia was challenged too strongly, he would order his men to attack. My vaqueros would have fought bravely, but in the end, they would have been killed. That would have left the women and children at the mercy of those dogs. It is the only word for them, as poor Pablo Benavides found out to his great suffering.
It looks like there ought to be something that could be done about this.
That is your American nature, Senor Morgan. You Norte Americanos always think that any time there is injustice or cruelty, something can be done about it. But here, south of the border, we are an older people. We know that sometimes there is nothing that can be done.
This Black Scorpion is a pretty notorious fella on both sides of the border.
Yes. He is known far and wide as a daring bandit. But sometimes I think he is not as bad as he has been painted. Consider the one who damns him.
Well, it's possible that if Captain Estancia wants to capture the bandit so strongly, then maybe the Black Scorpion isn't such a bad hombre after all. I might almost believe that, if not for the fact that the Texas Rangers want to catch the Black Scorpion as much as the Rurales do.
I mean no offense, Senor Morgan, but I put no faith in the word of the Texas Rangers, or in men like Cecil Tolliver.
You know, everything I've heard about Tolliver tells me that he's a pretty good fella. Got a nice family and a successful ranch.
A ranch built on cattle stolen from me.
I hear he says the same about you.
Lies. The man is incapable of telling the truth. Why, once he even dared to say, oh, Madre de Dios.
What did he say?
That the evidence I saw with my own eyes was wrong. That there was nothing, nothing between him and my wife.
Don Felipe, you don't know me, but it sounds to me like you want to talk about this. I'd be glad to listen.
There are some things a man does not speak of.
And sometimes, when he doesn't, they gnaw away at his insides until he feels like there's a hole all the way through to his soul.
You stood up to the Rurale sergeants, proving your honor and my lack of same.
Not hardly on that last one. I just happened to get to him before you did.
You think me a man of honor, Senor Morgan. But I failed that test many years ago when I found my wife in the arms of Cecil Tolliver and did not kill him.
I'm listening.
It was not long after Tolliver came to Texas and established his rancho. A few years, perhaps. Long enough so that our families had met. The river stood between his land and mine, and cows, well, cows stray. There was friction at first between his cowboys and my vaqueros. Whenever men from either ranch would cross the Rio Bravo to round up the cattle that had gotten on the wrong side, shots were fired, though no one was killed. I thought it best that Senor Tolliver and I should meet, so that we could discuss the situation peacefully and perhaps arrive at a solution.
You were a peacemaker. That doesn't surprise me.
Yes. My people are a fierce race, a race of warriors. But I do not believe in fighting when it is not necessary. I sent word to Cecil Tolliver, promising him safe passage to my hacienda, and he agreed to meet me there. When he came to talk, he was well armed, as were the men with him. But they put away their guns, and Tolliver and I drank and talked, and realized that we were much the same sort of men. We struck a truce, Senor Tolliver and I. When his cattle crossed the river into my land, my vaqueros turned them back. His riders did the same when my cattle strayed. And if any of the other man's stock was rounded up and sold, the one who sold them paid the other man immediately. It was a satisfactory arrangement. It was more than that. Tolliver and I, we became amigos. Not only that, but our families were friendly as well. We visited each other's rancho, and our children played together. My Antonio and Tolliver's son Benjamin raced horses like the wild young things they were. Tolliver's daughters were older than Carmen, but they took her under their wing and were kind to her. Twice a year, at least, the families gathered, and this went on for several years.
Sounds mighty fine. There's always been trouble along the border, but you and Tolliver put that aside and forged your own peace.
Yes, a separate peace from the rest of the border country. We celebrated together when my son Mateo was born. And we mourned together when the fever took him shortly before his second birthday.
I'm sorry.
Do you have sons, Senor Morgan?
One son.
Are you close to him?
No, never have been.
That is regrettable. Still, you know what it is like to look on the face of a child and be aware that he sprang from your loins. You know the mingled joy and pain such awareness can bring.
Yeah.
Trust me, Senor Morgan, when I tell you that if you have never suffered the loss of a child, you have never known the very worst pain a man can endure.
I'll take your word for that, Don Felipe. And I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
It is even worse for the mother. A man has his work, his responsibilities. There are always cattle to brand, to round up, and drive to market and ship. Things that must be done, while a woman has nothing but her grief. There is no knowing what she may do. It was less than a year later when I caught them together, my Maria and Tolliver. He claimed she was merely upset by some memory of Mateo that had taken her by surprise, and he attempted to comfort her as a friend. But his arms were around her, and hers around him, and I knew better. Maria denied it too, saying that there was nothing between them other than friendship. But I knew the truth and was outraged. I sent Tolliver and his family away. They were no longer welcome on my rancho. This upset the children, but it was unavoidable. Later, when Antonio was older and knew the truth, he shared my anger and knew that I had done the right thing. He quickly grew to hate the gringos as much or more than I did. And yet, now, I spill all the pain in my heart to a gringo. Why is this, Senor Morgan?
Maybe you can tell that you and I have shared some of the same sort of pain, Don Felipe, even though I never lost a child. Tell me, what happened to your wife?
She died. I believe she mourned herself into the grave.
I've been married twice. Both of my wives were killed by evil men.
You hunted down these men and took your vengeance on them? Surely you must have. I see it in your eyes.
I took my vengeance, all right. It had to be done. But it didn't bring back either of the women I loved.
No. There is no bringing back those who are gone from us.
What happened between you and Tolliver?
Once I saw him for the sort of man he really was, I realized he had been stealing from me. My hatred for him grew, and I suppose his for me did as well. Now, Senor Morgan, you know my story. I would ask that we say nothing more about it, and that you do not discuss it with anyone else. A man's pride is a private thing, And so are his wounds.
Of course. I won't say anything.
You are an uncommon man, Señor Morgan. I have not spoken of these things in years. I thought I would never speak of them again.
You're a cattleman. So you must have seen sore places that you have to take a hot knife to. The places you have to cut open, no matter how much it hurts, so that all the festering can come out.
See, of course.
Sometimes I think the human heart is the same way.
Even though Frank knew he ought to get back north of the Rio Grande, he allowed inertia to overtake him and spent the next 3 days at the Almanzar Hacienda, resting his injured ankle and letting the sore lump on his head go away completely. Life was pleasant here, and the slow-paced way of life was seductive. He ate well, drank fine wine, and grew fond of the afternoon siesta. After all, there was nothing that absolutely had to be done during that time each day. He grew friendly with the vaqueros, too, and sometimes sat with them of an evening, listening to their guitar music and the soft, liquid sounds of their songs that flowed like water in a peaceful stream. These bold riders were puzzled at first, knowing the animosity their patron felt toward all gringos. All but this quiet-spoken but deadly man, Frank Morgan, who seemed the sort who was able to make himself at home wherever he went. If Don Felipe accepted him, then so did Don Felipe's vaqueros. Frank's ankle was healed and he could wear his boots again, though Don Felipe insisted that he keep the fine moccasins of soft leather. The injuries suffered in his fight with the Black Scorpion were gone, and so his thoughts turned at last toward returning to the Rocking Tee, so that he could let his friends north of the border know that he was all right. He found himself wanting to see Rowan Williamson again as well. On the third night, he left the bunkhouse where he had been visiting with the vaqueros, telling them stories of his life. Even down here below the Rio Grande, they had heard of Frank Morgan, and they wanted to know if...
Es verdad? You have killed 1,000 men as a gunfighter?
Frank had tried to set them straight without disappointing them too much. He had learned over the years that most folks preferred the legend to the truth. As he strolled across the courtyard toward the hacienda with Wolf at his heels, the big cur suddenly stopped.
What is it, fella?
Wolf was gazing intently at the hacienda, and as Frank looked in the same direction, he saw a shadowy shape dart around a corner of the sprawling adobe building. He didn't get a good enough look to tell if the lurker was male or female, but he remembered how Carmen had snuck out to meet someone a few nights earlier. Maybe this was Carmen again, trying to make some clandestine rendezvous. Or maybe whoever she had been meeting had grown bolder and come all the way down to the hacienda tonight.
Quiet, boy.
Frank moved forward with silent grace, reached the hacienda, and edged along the outer wall with his back to the adobe. When he reached the corner, he heard the soft murmur of voices nearby. Although he couldn't make out the words, after listening for a few moments, he was sure that one of the voices belonged to Carmen, and the other to a man. Carmen and her lover. With a start, Frank realized he had heard the male voice before. Was it possible? He took off his hat and risked a careful look around the corner. Halfway along the outer wall, near one of the gated entrances, a dark shape was visible against the lighter-colored adobe. After a moment, the shape parted, became two, and Frank realized that he had been watching them embrace. Feeling a little ashamed at spying on them like this, he drew back. What he ought to do, he thought, was just go away and leave them alone. And he might have done that, too, if he hadn't suddenly heard the swift rataplan of hoofbeats approaching the hacienda. That many riders didn't come galloping out of the night without it meaning trouble. So he slapped his hat back on his head and whipped around the corner.
Carmen, Ben Tolliver. Better hustle, there's trouble coming.
¿Qué? Señor Morgan?
Morgan? Frank Morgan?
That's right, Ben. You better light a shuck back to wherever you left your horse if you don't want to get caught here. I got a feeling hell's about to pop.
Señor Morgan, you mustn't tell my father about this. He must not know that Ben and I...
You got more to worry about than that. But I won't say anything. Now vamos!
Ben grabbed Carmen, gave her a hurried kiss on the mouth, and then turned and ran into the darkness. Over toward the bunkhouse, the battle continued as the raiders swept in from the night and slammed bullets into the sturdy walls of the structure. The vaqueros tried to return the fire, but the storm of lead that came their way forced them to duck for cover. Frank took hold of Carmen's arm and hustled her toward the nearby gate, assuming that that was where she had slipped out of the hacienda. The gate swung open under his touch, and he pushed Carmen inside.
Now get to your room and stay there.
Señor Morgan, what will you do?
Don't worry about me. Go!
Carmen turned and ran across the interior courtyard, heading for the main part of the hacienda. Frank darted along the wall toward the front of the compound.
Come on, Wolf!
Frank ran around the corner and saw the scene of battle laid out before him, illuminated by muzzle flashes and lamplight from the hacienda and the bunkhouse. He halfway expected the raiders to be Captain Estancia's rurales, but instead of uniforms, the men wore the garb of the Caros, or Pandas. Frank wondered if they rode for the Black Scorpion. Some of the raiders had the ranchers' vaqueros pinned down in the bunkhouse. Others rode toward the hacienda itself, whooping and firing their guns in the air. He drew his Colt and was about to join in the fight when the front gate of the compound was thrown open and Frank saw Antonio Almanzar racing out brandishing a rifle. The young man's passion had gotten the best of his common sense. He had left the cover of the thick adobe walls to carry the battle to the raiders. Unfortunately, he was outnumbered by more than 10-1, and he would probably be cut down by gunfire in a matter of seconds. One of the bandits had other ideas, though. A big man with a floppy-brimmed sombrero and a poncho reined his horse toward Antonio. He had a rifle in one hand and appeared to be large enough and strong enough to fire it that way. Instead of gunning down Antonio, the big man raised his rifle to strike a blow. Frank snapped a shot at him, but the man's horse reared at that exact moment, causing the bullet to miss.
Antonio, look out!
The warning came too late. Ah! The rifle barrel slashed down viciously and caught Antonio across the shoulders. The big man guided his horse with his knees as he reached down and plucked Antonio from the ground as if the young man weighed nothing at all. Frank ran towards him, but then some of the other raiders saw him coming and opened fire on him. Bullets pounded into the ground in front of him and made him retreat. As he ducked around the corner, he saw the big man wheel his horse and gallop off into the darkness, taking Antonio Almanzar with him. A smaller man rode up to the wall and tossed something over it, then jerked his mount around and raced away. Frank dropped to the ground to wait for the explosion, thinking that the man might have thrown a bundle of dynamite into the hacienda's inner courtyard. When no explosion came, and when he realized that the gunfire was slacking off, Frank pushed himself to his feet and darted out into the open again. He saw that all the raiders were escaping, throwing a few shots at the bunkhouse as they did so to keep the vaqueros inside from rushing out and giving chase. With Wolf at his side, Frank ran to the spot where Antonio had been captured. The young man's rifle lay where he had dropped it.
Señor Morgan! Señor Morgan!
Don Felipe came running outside, clutching a shotgun.
Señor Morgan, are you all right?
I'm fine. But they got Antonio.
Hey, Antonio! My son!
One of them threw something over the wall. We'd better go see what it was.
As Don Felipe and Frank went into the inner courtyard, old Esteban came scurrying out of the house carrying a torch. The mozo looked frightened, but he hurried forward as if he knew that his place was at his master's side.
Over here, Esteban!
When the servant came up, Almanzar snatched the torch out of his hand and thrust it forward boldly, lighting up the courtyard. Frank saw the rock, about twice the size of a man's fist, lying on the paving stones. It had a piece of paper wrapped around it and tied in place.
Dios mío, a note!
Frank stepped forward and bent to pick up the rock. His fingers plucked at the rawhide thong that held the paper around the irregular chunk of stone until he had it loose and he dropped the rock. Smoothing out the paper with his hands, he turned so that the light from the torch fell over the words scrawled on it.
Ransom? They have stolen my son and seek to exchange him for ransom.
How much are they asking for him?
2,000,000 pesos.
Do you have that much money?
Not here on the rancho, no. I might have half that, perhaps a little less. I could raise the other, though. They give me a week, the dogs.
Can you get the cash together in that time?
Si, I think so. I will have to ride to Nuevo Laredo, where there is a telegraph, and send a wire to my bank in Mexico City. Damn the Black Scorpion. Damn his eyes.
You sure the Black Scorpion is responsible for this?
There is his signature. Until now, he and his men have left us alone. But now that he has struck at last, he has pierced straight to my heart.
Don't worry about the money. I'll go with you to Nuevo Laredo and send a wire to one of my lawyers in Denver. He can arrange a transfer of funds from one of my accounts.
You have that kind of money, Señor Morgan? I do not wish to pry into another man's business affairs, but this is very important to me.
Of course it is. And to answer your question, yeah, I got it. My first wife was a very wealthy woman, and when she died, she made sure that I inherited a great deal of money, even though I never particularly wanted it. I have lawyers in Denver and San Francisco who look after it for me. And darned if it doesn't just keep growing.
I am surprised. I thought you...
That I was just a down-at-heels drifting gunman. I've found that things are more peaceful, if that's what most folks think about me. I've already run into enough trouble without people knowing that I'm rich.
And you would share this with me?
I consider you a friend, Don Felipe. If there's anything I can do for you, I'm gonna do it.
Muchas gracias, mi amigo. I will never forget this, Señor Morgan. Frank.
Papa? Papa, what has happened?
The Black Scorpion has kidnapped Antonio and demands 2,000,000 pesos ransom for him.
No! No!
No, do not worry, Carmencita. We will get him back. The Black Scorpion would not dare to harm him.
The Black Scorpion strikes at us here, in our own home. He will dare anything.
Go back inside. There is nothing you can do.
Will you go after them, or will you pay the ransom? You must not risk Antonio's life.
We will get him back safely. That is all I can promise.
I reckon you better post some guards for the rest of the night. I don't know of any reason why the bandits would come back, but it's hard to say what gents like that might do.
Yes. I will set out sentries. And then in the morning, you and I will start for Nuevo Laredo, Frank. We can reach it in a day's hard ride.
Sounds good to me. Since we'll be in the saddle all day tomorrow, we better get some rest tonight.
You are right. I fear sleep will not come easy on this night, however.
Don Felipe went to the bunkhouse to see about posting some of the vaqueros on guard. Frank circled through one of the gardens to reach the central plaza. His room was located just off that innermost courtyard. Wolf was at his heels, and once again the big cur warned him of something not being right. This time, however, Frank had already spotted the shadowy figure waiting for him in the covered walkway in front of his door.
You shouldn't be here, Carmen. It's not what you'd call proper.
I am in love with the son of my father's greatest enemy, Señor Morgan. I have long since stopped worrying about what is proper and what is not.
Might as well get in out of the night air. I get the feeling that you want to talk, Señorita.
Carmen followed him inside his room and stood there nervously as he flicked a lucifer to life and lit the wall lamp. The yellow glow filled the room. Frank turned toward her.
What is it you want to talk about, Señorita? Your brother being kidnapped by the Black Scorpion? Or the fact that you're in love with Ben Tolliver?
How did you know? We have been so careful.
Not really. I spotted Ben riding over the hill in back of the house a few evenings ago. That same night, I saw you sneaking back into the hacienda after you met him. The way you were singing to yourself, I could tell you were a woman in love.
But how did you know it is Ben who has captured my heart?
Yeah, that was sort of a guess. When I saw him ride over the hill, I got a look at his hat, and I could tell it wasn't a sombrero, but rather the kind of hat that gringos wear. That started me thinking about who might be able to ride across the border to see you. The Rockin' T is the closest ranch on the other side of the river, and Ben is Cecil Tolliver's only son. Of course, it could have been one of the Rockin' T cowboys who's been courting you, but I remember how Tolliver made some comment about Ben dropping out of sight at times. I figure that was when he came over here.
You told my father that you knew of Cecil Tolliver, but not that you had been to his ranch.
I shaded the truth a little. I suppose when you mentioned to Ben that I was staying here, he told you that I'd been to the Rockin' T, too.
He did?
Just because I'm acquainted with the Tolliver family doesn't mean that I intend any harm to your family. But I knew of the bad blood between your father and Cecil Tolliver, even though I didn't know the cause of it. And I figured it would be better not to mention certain things.
Better for whom, Señor Morgan? What is your true purpose here?
I want to find out who's really responsible for all the problems going on now between your father and Cecil Tolliver.
Tolliver is a rustler.
He says the same thing about your father.
Don Felipe Almanzar would never steal another man's cattle.
Well, somebody's wide-looping Tolliver's stock, and a bunch of gunmen attacked him and Ben the other day and nearly killed him.
Ben told me of this. He said you saved their lives, Señor Morgan. I must thank you for that.
Cecil Tolliver believes those gunnies who jumped them worked for your father.
A lie! It is Tolliver who sends armed men down here to ambush our vaqueros.
Now tell me, do you really believe that the father of the man you love would do a thing like that?
Well, I remember what Señor Tolliver was like when Ben and I were young. I thought he was a good man and a good friend to my father. It is hard to believe that he has become so evil. But Papa is so sure.
Just like he was sure something was going on between Tolliver and your mother?
You must not speak of such things. I am surprised my father even told you about what happened.
But he did tell me. And everything goes back to that, doesn't it, Carmen? Before that, the Tollivers and the Almanzars were friends. Good friends. You and Ben were young. But maybe you already felt something for each other.
See, even as children, I think we knew how we felt about each other. I always wanted to be with him.
But then it all went wrong. And when the two of you finally did get together again, you had to meet on the sly, didn't you?
It has been so hard. So hard.
And now, on top of everything else, your brother's been kidnapped by the Black Scorpion.
Antonio will be all right. I am sure of it.
How can you be so certain?
It is just a feeling? I know the Black Scorpion would not harm my brother. It is important, though, that my father pay the ransom, just to be sure nothing happens to Tonio.
He plans to pay. In fact, I'm gonna loan him the money. We're going to Nuevo Laredo in the morning to arrange it.
You, Señor Morgan? I had no idea you were a rich man.
I don't make a lot of noise about it. I figure if a man has a good horse, a good dog, and a good gun, what else does he need?
A good woman, perhaps.
Well, maybe at the right place and time. You know, even if your father pays the ransom, there's no guarantee the Black Scorpion will go through with his part of the deal.
You mean you think he might not release Antonio? Or that he might kill him?
I just think the smart thing to do is to be ready for any possibility. If the Black Scorpion tries to double-cross us, we gotta be prepared to take Antonio away from him.
I pray that it does not come to that.
You and me both, Senorita. You and me both.
Frank and Carmen reached an understanding before she slipped out of his room. He wouldn't say anything to Don Felipe about her relationship with Ben Tolliver, and she wouldn't mention that he had been a guest at the Rocking Tea and had become friends with the Tolliver family. Still, sleep didn't come easily to Frank that night. And when he finally dozed off, it seemed as if he had barely closed his eyes when commotion outside jerked him out of his slumber. He sat up sharply, swung his legs out of bed, and reached for his trousers. It took him only a moment to pull them on, stamp his feet down into his boots, and thrust his arms through the sleeves of his shirt. With the shirt still unbuttoned, he was buckling on his gun belt as he went out the door of the room. The hour was early, with the rosy flush of dawn on the eastern horizon. Frank followed the sound of the ringing bell, fastening the buttons on his shirt as he hurried toward the front of the hacienda. When he reached the outer wall of the compound, he saw that the gate was open. Horses milled around in the open space between the hacienda and the barns. The gray uniforms of the riders tended to blur into the dawn shadows. The rurales had returned. Frank strode up and saw Don Felipe Almanzar standing next to one of the horses, talking to Captain Domingo Estancia.
You are still here, Señor Morgan?
That's right. And I reckon you're still on the trail of the Black Scorpion, Captain.
I have told Captain Estancia that the Black Scorpion is holding my son for ransom.
And I have explained to Don Felipe that although his son's captivity is regrettable, it can have no effect on the way my men and I carry out our mission, which is to hunt down the banditos and destroy them.
I suppose the trail of the Black Scorpion's gang led you back here.
That is correct. We are closing in on them, and we expect to have them at bay within another day or two.
If you engage them in battle, Captain, it is likely that they will kill Antonio.
As I said, any danger to your son is regrettable. But I will smash that band of lawbreakers.
You...
Don Felipe, if I could talk with you for a moment.
What is it, Señor Morgan?
Frank drew him aside, out of earshot of Estancia and the other rurales.
You can't stop him from going after the Black Scorpion, Don Felipe. He has too many men, and you have your vaqueros and their families to think about.
But Antonio...
I know. Estancia is just going to put him in more danger by chasing the bandidos. What we have to do is find the Black Scorpion's gang first and get Antonio away from them before Estancia can hit him. Or I reckon I should say that's what I have to do.
You? But you're injured.
I'm pretty much healed up now. I can ride, and I can get to Antonio first. That's what I'm counting on anyway.
Such an attempt might stand a chance of success, but you cannot go alone. I should send some of my men with you.
I can move faster by myself. And if I do locate the bandit camp, one man would have a better chance of slipping in and out of there than a group.
I know your reputation as a fighter, Frank, but this is not your land. It is unlikely you would be able to find the Black Scorpion before the rurales do. However, if I send one man with you, one man who knows this part of Mexico better than any other, that would increase the chances of success, no?
Well, maybe. Somebody to help me find the gang, and then I could snatch Antonio away from them.
See, that is what I mean. I have just such a man, one who can guide you, one who knows the hills and the mountains and the plains better than anyone.
All right. Send him to me. And as soon as Estancia and his men pull out, we'll leave too and ride around them to get on the trail first. But while we're doing that, you go on to Nuevo Laredo as planned. I'll write out the message for you to send to my lawyers in Denver. They'll know it's from me. Go ahead and prepare the ransom just in case we need it. If we don't, there's no harm done.
Yes, we must be prepared. That is wise. Bring my son back to me, amigo.
If I can. You have my word on that.
The rurales stayed at the Almanzar Rancho only a short time, watering their horses and filling their canteens before riding out again. That was long enough, however, for Frank to see to it that Stormy was saddled and ready to ride, and instruct Wolf to wait with him. He left the Appaloosa in the barn and went back to the house to gather some provisions. The mission he had chosen for himself might take several days to accomplish. As Frank was about to leave the hacienda and return to the stable, he saw Carmen hurrying toward him.
Señor Morgan, my father has told me what you are about to do. Thank you, señor. I know that if anyone can save my brother, it is you.
I'll do my best.
And you and I, we will keep our secrets?
Of course.
Carmen put her hands on his arms, came up on her toes, and leaned forward to kiss him on the cheek.
Vaya con Dios, Señor Morgan.
As Frank approached the barn where Stormy and Wolf waited, he saw Don Felipe standing there with a short poncho-draped figure wearing a sombrero that seemed almost as big as he was. When the second man turned toward him, Frank was surprised to see the wizened face of old Esteban.
Here is your guide.
Are you sure about this, Don Felipe?
This rancho was given to my family by a land grant from the King of Spain more than a century ago, Señor Morgan. Esteban's father worked for my great-grandfather and my grandfather. Esteban himself worked for my grandfather and my father. He has lived with the Yaquis, and he knows every hectare in the region.
Can he stand up to a long, hard ride?
I can keep up, señor. Do not concern yourself with that.
All right. I'm honored to have your help, Esteban.
Gracias, señor.
Don Felipe gave the signal, and one of the vaqueros brought out the big black stallion that was Don Felipe's personal mount.
Esteban, you will take El Rey.
Sí, patrón.
Vaya con Dios.
Frank nodded and lifted a hand to the brim of his Stetson in farewell. Then he pulled the Appaloosa's head around and heeled him into a trot that carried them away from the hacienda. Esteban fell in alongside on El Rey. Neither man looked back. Frank let Esteban take the lead and set the pace. The old-timer knew what he was doing. He had seen the way the rurales had ridden when they left the ranch, heading northwest through the foothills that paralleled the mountain range. Esteban took an even more westerly direction, which brought them into more rugged terrain.
We could pass them quickly if we rode east and traveled on the flat. But if we did that, we would run the risk of being seen. Once we are above them, we can pass to Rales more easily without the risk of being observed.
It'll be slower this way, though, I imagine.
If our forces were of the same size, then yes, our path would be slower. But they are many, and we are few. What would be a disadvantage in battle, we must turn to our advantage in speed and stealth.
Since the ground was rocky, the hooves of Stormy and El Rey raised little dust. The same could not be said of the Rurales mounts. As Frank looked to his right, he could see the haze of dust that rose to mark the passage of the larger group. He was surprised to see how much lower the Rurales were compared to him and Esteban. He had known that they were climbing quite a bit, but he hadn't been aware that they were that much higher. By midday, Esteban judged that they were well ahead of Captain Estancia's troop of Rurales.
We start down now. We must find the trail of the Black Scorpion.
You could have tracked him down any time you wanted to, couldn't you?
Quien sabe? I had no need to until now.
When we catch up to the gang, we'll follow them until they make camp for the night. Then you'll wait with the horses while I slip in and get Antonio.
The bandidos may have already reached their camp.
Then we'll wait until dark anyway. I can't just waltz in there.
I could.
What do you mean?
I could walk into the bandidos' camp. It is doubtful that any of them would know that I work for Don Felipe. I could pretend to be a crazed old goat herder who has lost his way. Tell me, senor, would anyone really be suspicious of an old man like me?
What if somebody did recognize you? If the Black Scorpion knew that you worked for Don Felipe, he might have you shot.
Not if I told him the guy had come to arrange for the payment of the ransom. If I visited the bandido camp, I could find out exactly where they are holding Antonio and how he is guarded. That would make your task much easier, would it not?
Yeah, you're right. I just hate seeing you taking such chances, Esteban.
At my age, senor, when I close my eyes to sleep at night, I risk never waking again.
I reckon that's true of all of us, amigo. All right, that's a plan then. When we find the Black Scorpion's camp, you'll scout it out for us first.
By mid-afternoon, the two men had begun to spot the occasional telltale marks that told them a large group of riders had passed this way recently. Stones chipped by horseshoes, branches bent back and sometimes broken, a welter of hoof prints here and there, piles of horse droppings.
This trail was left by the Black Scorpion and his men. I am sure of it.
So am I. Looks like they're only a couple hours ahead of us, too.
Frank and Esteban increased the pace of the horses, trying to catch up to the bandidos, and at the same time put more distance between them and the Rurales. The sparsely wooded foothills and the shallow valleys between them made for fairly easy riding. It was late in the afternoon when Esteban held up a hand to call a halt.
Look there!
Frank looked in the direction Esteban indicated and saw several thin columns of smoke rising into the air.
That looks like a settlement of some kind.
It is. A small farming community. I have been there before, but it has been many years. I doubt that anyone there would remember me, but we will go around the village anyway. If the people saw us, they might try to warn the Black Scorpion.
Because they're afraid of him?
That is what that pig of a Rurale captain would have you believe. In truth, from what I know, the Black Scorpion has never given the people of the village any reason to fear him.
I thought he raided on this side of the border just like he does on the Texas side.
He does, senor. He does.
Frank wanted to know what he meant by that, but questioning the old mozo would have to wait. Right now, they had to concentrate on finding the Black Scorpion's hideout. With Esteban still leading the way, they circled to the west around the little farming village nestled in the foothills. From a distance, it looked like a charming place, Frank thought, with a church and a scattering of adobe buildings around a plaza. As Esteban pointed out in the fading light, the trail left by the Black Scorpion's gang went around the village, too. It led onto a ridge and then up a hill. They weren't yet at the top of the slope when Esteban reined in suddenly. He turned to Frank, who nodded.
I smell it too. Wood smoke and meat roasting. Must be a good-sized campfire somewhere close by.
See, we will leave the horses here and go up the hill on foot.
They dismounted and tied their reins to small pine trees.
You stay with the horses, Wolf. I know you're disappointed, Wolf. We're just scouting right now, though.
Some men would think you a fool for talking to a dog as if he understood your words, senor.
Not you, though.
A good horse and a good dog speak the same language of the heart as a good man.
Frank and Esteban cat-footed their way to the top of the hill, using the scattered pines as cover. When they reached the crest, they crouched behind some bushes and peered out into the narrow valley on the other side of the hill. The sun was low enough so that the valley was in shadow, but enough light remained for the two men to be able to see the wide, dark mouth of the cave that opened into the slope on the far side of the valley. A fire had been built in the cave mouth, and the smoke that rose from it was broken up by the overhang above it. Men moved around, dark silhouettes against the garish glare of the leaping flames.
Señor, I think we have found the stronghold of the Black Scorpion.
You still want to walk in there and see what happens?
Well, that is our best course of action. I will take a look around the camp, and then if no one recognizes me, I will slip out and come back here to tell you what I have discovered.
Be careful.
No worry, señor. I am too old to take extra chances.
Esteban stood up and walked over to the top of the hill. He started making his way down the other side. Frank watched him go, wondering how long it would be before the bandidos spotted him. The Black Scorpion would have sentries posted. He was too careful not to have taken that precaution. Just as Frank expected, Esteban was less than halfway across the valley when he stopped suddenly and waited as men carrying rifles stepped out from behind some trees and covered him. Frank couldn't hear what was being said, but Esteban talked to the guards for several minutes, gesturing emphatically as he spoke. He was probably telling them that he was looking for some goats that had wandered off, as goats had a tendency to do. Finally, the guards must have told Esteban to go on up to the cave, because the old man started toward the camp, and the sentries disappeared back into the trees. Frank watched as Esteban climbed to the cave. Some of the bandidos met him at the top of the slope and waved their arms around as if to say there were no missing goats there. Esteban talked to them for a moment and then walked past the fire and deeper into the cave. The minutes dragged by. At last, Esteban appeared again, shuffling out of the cave. He laughed with some of the bandidos and started down the hill. No one stopped him. His ruse had been successful, at least as far as getting in and out of the bandit camp. Whether or not he had located Antonio was a question that would have to wait for an answer. By the time Esteban got back, full night had fallen, and although Frank could still see the campfire in the cave mouth, the valley between him and the camp was cloaked in darkness.
It is only me, Señor Morgan.
Did you locate Antonio?
Si, señor. He is in the cave.
Is he all right?
He appeared unharmed.
Did he see you?
Yes. But he said nothing to give me away.
Getting to him through that bunch and getting him out of there isn't going to be easy.
Easier than you think, señor. I know something about that cave that the Black Scorpion does not. There is a back way in and out of it from the other side of the hill.
It's not guarded?
No, because as I said, the Black Scorpion knows it not.
All right. If you can take me to the other entrance, I'll slip in once the camp is asleep and take Antonio out of there. Did you see the Black Scorpion?
See, the man is there.
Is he guarding Antonio personally?
The Black Scorpion is never far away, but even he must sleep.
Where exactly is Antonio?
When you come out of the passage, he will be very close. Turn to your left and you will see him.
Is he tied up?
No. The bandits have no fear of him escaping.
That confidence is going to backfire on him. Let's go. I imagine it'll take us quite a while to work our way around behind their camp. By the time we get there, maybe most of them will be asleep.
I think that is likely, señor. There will be much drinking of tequila and pulque and mezcal tonight. Many worms will be eaten.
They slipped back down the slope to where they had left the horses. Taking the reins, Frank and Esteban led their mounts until they were well away from the camp. Only then did they ride, as Esteban led the way in a circuitous route that would eventually take them to the other side of the hill where the cave was located.
How do you happen to know that there's a back door in that cave?
Don Felipe told you that for a time I lived with the Yaquis. They used it as a camp when they hunted in this region.
How'd you wind up staying with them, if you don't mind my asking?
I was a young man with more cojones and sense. And like many such, I sought adventure. I was lucky that the Yaquis befriended me instead of simply killing me. Worse yet, they could have entertained themselves by torturing me for a long time. No people are more skilled at the art of torture than the Yaquis.
So I've heard. I've never run into any of them myself, though.
If you ever do, señor, pray for a quick death.
You went back to work for Don Felipe eventually, though.
See, the wildlife, sooner or later it pales. A young man may eat danger for breakfast, but as he grows older, he begins to hunger for something more nourishing. I have had 4 wives, you know.
No, didn't know that.
See, 3 of them I have buried, but the 4th yet lives. She is 19 years of age and will soon give birth to my 12th child. I have 7 sons and 4 daughters. My life has nourished me, Señor Morgan. I am filled.
Finally, when it seemed like they had been riding for hours, Esteban reined in.
We will leave the horses here. The rest of the way, we must go on foot.
I thought you were staying with the horses.
I must show you the entrance to the passage.
Stay with the horses, Wolf. I know.
Within moments, Frank saw why they'd had to leave the horses behind. They came to an almost sheer wall of rock rising blackly in front of them. Esteban gestured toward it.
From here, we climb. It is not far, though.
Esteban went first, and Frank didn't argue the matter, figuring that he could find handholds and footholds better by watching the old man. Esteban climbed with an agility belying his age. Frank followed, making sure with each move that he had a good grip before trusting his weight to it. When Esteban was about 50 feet up the rock wall, he stopped and motioned for Frank to come up even with him. Frank could barely see the gesture in the shadows. Carefully, he finished the ascent, and when he pulled himself up beside Esteban, he saw the narrow black slash in the rock.
There is room for only one man, and a tall man such as yourself must bend over to keep from hitting your head. The passage makes 2 turns, but you cannot get lost since there are no other openings between here and the cave. When you reach the other end, you must slide around a rock that blocks the passage from view and climb down a short distance, perhaps 8 feet.
All right, I understand. I'll be back with Antonio as quick as I can.
Take great care, senor.
Frank clasped Esteban's shoulder for a second, then turned toward the rock wall and insinuated himself into the opening. His broad shoulders brushed lightly against both sides of the passage. He checked the height and found that he had to stoop only slightly at this point. He would have to be careful, though, not to bump his head if the ceiling dropped any more. Awkwardly, because of the way he was bent over, Frank shuffled forward into the darkness. He kept his left hand stretched out in front of him while the right hovered near the butt of his gun. He wouldn't use the peacemaker unless it was absolutely necessary. When he glanced over his shoulder, he could see a tiny patch of light that marked the entrance to the hidden passage. It wasn't so much light, he thought, as it was darkness that wasn't quite as deep as the surrounding Stygian gloom. But when he reached a bend in the passage and moved around it, even that minuscule bit of illumination was gone. Utter darkness surrounded him. It was darker than the inside of a sack full of black cats. The passageway bent again, and Frank's head brushed the ceiling. He stooped lower and moved on, but now he could see his goal. A narrow slit of reddish light hovered in front of him in the blackness, looking almost like a wound. He knew the light came from the campfire in the mouth of the cave. The glare flickered and shifted, and the opening changed from a wound to an aperture into hell. He reached the end of the passage and saw the large rock that jutted up in front of it, blocking direct sight into the cave. The light from the fire reflected around it. Frank slipped out, put his back against the rock, and slid around the spire. He found himself some 8 feet above the floor of the cave, just as Esteban had told him he would. The wall of the cave was rough enough, though, so that Frank had no trouble finding handholds to lower himself down. His boots touched the floor, and he stepped away from the wall. He hadn't seen Antonio or anyone else. In fact, the camp appeared to be deserted. The fire in the cave mouth, about 100 feet away, was still burning, but none of the bandidos moved around it. Then men stepped out of the shadows behind Frank. He knew, even before he heard the metallic sounds of guns being cocked, that he was covered. He didn't move, and he kept his right hand well away from his gun.
Stand very still, Señor Morgan. I would not want to see you die, but my men will shoot you if you make any threatening moves.
Take it easy. It's your play, Antonio. Or would you rather I call you the Black Scorpion?
Antonio walked around to in front of Frank, wearing the sable shirt and trousers of the Black Scorpion, but not the hat or the mask.
Madre de Dios, how did you know?
It was a guess of sorts, but it explained how come those bandidos already had a ransom note written out and ready to toss over the wall into the hacienda. They knew you'd come running out, so they could pretend to kidnap you. That bothered me for a while, And what I don't know is why you do such a thing. Just to get money from your father?
It takes a great deal of money to fight a war, Senor Morgan. And that is what we are doing, you know. Fighting a war. A revolution.
What you're saying is that you're not a gang of bandits?
A small figure appeared near the front of the cave and strode toward Frank.
That is right, Senor Morgan. We are not bandidos.
So you were in on it, too. I halfway thought as much, but I wasn't sure.
It was perhaps a more elaborate ruse than it really needed to be. But we have learned to take no chances. We wanted you here where you could do no harm to our cause. But at the same time, we have no wish to do you any harm either, Senor Morgan.
You could have told me what was going on.
You have come to consider Don Felipe a friend. Would you have willingly gone along with our plan?
That depends on what it is.
My father will pay 2,000,000 pesos for my safe release. Then the Black Scorpion and his men will use that money to buy guns and supplies so that we may continue fighting against the oppression of Capitan Estancia and the Rurales.
So Don Felipe knows nothing of this?
No, nothing.
He doesn't wonder where you've gotten off to when you're leading your gang on its raids?
My men are not a gang. They are a band of courageous fighters for Libertad. And as for my absences, the Almanzar Rancho is quite large. My father thinks little or nothing about it when I and some of our vaqueros are gone for several days tending to the stock. Besides, I have quite a capable lieutenant and do not always need to be on hand.
Antonio crooked his hand, calling one of the men forward. The bearded giant who had grabbed up Antonio during the raid on the ranch strolled around so that Frank could see him.
This is Lupe, my segundo. He was once a soldier in El Presidente's army.
Until my spineless coward of a commander broke under fire, and I was forced to strike him down. For that, he would have had me in front of a firing squad had I not escaped. Ha! The army is no life for a real man. At least not that army.
So you became a rebel. I imagine all the rest of your group has their own stories, their own reasons. That doesn't give you the right to prey on innocent people.
Innocent? Never have we preyed on any innocent, Senor Morgan.
What about that ranch you raided on the other side of the border? Or those two peasants you killed when the rangers were chasing you?
That so-called ranch was the headquarters of smugglers who work with Capitan Estancia and the Rurales.
Wait a minute. The Rurales are supposed to stop smugglers, not work with them.
That shows how little you know about what is really going on along the border, Senor. Gold, guns, cheap opium, Chinese laborers who are little more than slaves. All of these and more are smuggled regularly across the Rio Grande. The profits go into the pockets of the thrice-damned Domingo Estancia and his American partners.
You're saying the Rurales have turned outlaw?
That is exactly what I'm saying. El Presidente is bad enough and will someday be overthrown. Now, though, along this stretch of the border, Estancia is the true dictator. Perhaps he shares his ill-gotten gains with Diaz, but I doubt it. I do not think El Presidente truly knows what is going on here.
What about those two men? The brothers? I don't remember their name.
Hernandez. They pretended to be farmers, but their place was really a way station for the smugglers. They acted as informers for Estancia, too.
So you murdered them?
We wanted only to question, to find out Estancia's plans. They fought back before we had a chance to ask anything. But they opened fire on us. We had no choice but to defend ourselves.
Then you burned their jacal.
Called it a warning to others who would lie down with Estancia and his bloodthirsty dogs.
We do not cloak ourselves in robes of purity, Senor Morgan. It is bloody work we do, but it is work that must be done if Estancia's grip on our land is ever able to be broken.
If your cause is so noble, why don't you just ask Don Felipe for the money you need?
Don Felipe believes in the rule of law. Even when their law is unjust and its purveyors are evil men, his great-grandfather bowed to the King of Spain, and Don Felipe bows to El Presidente, whether he likes it or not. Estancia is the representative of Diaz.
I got the feeling Don Felipe doesn't care for Estancia at all.
Disliking a man and taking action against the government are two different things. Perhaps someday my father will see things in the same light that we do. But in the meantime, we need guns and ammunition and supplies.
Like train robbing?
That train was supposed to be carrying a shipment of rifles. That is the only reason we stopped it. When we saw that there were no rifles,
We rode away without molesting or robbing any of the passengers. Estancia tells the story differently in order to justify his pursuit of us. In truth, what he really wants is to see all of us standing in front of a wall with a firing squad aimed at us.
You especially, amigo.
Yes, me especially. I have been a great thorn in Capitan Estancia's side. He is tired of being pricked.
What happens next?
You remain here with us for a few days.
As a prisoner?
As our guest. My father pays the ransom and is reunited with his kidnapped son, and our battle against Estancia and the Ruales continues.
What's to stop me from telling him later about your little masquerade?
Do not mock me, Señor Morgan. The people need someone to rally them, to give them hope. For now, the Black Scorpion is that figure. Perhaps someday I will be able to lead them openly. As for you, it is our hope that after a few days among us, you will see the justice of our cause and will agree not to reveal our secrets.
And if I don't agree?
Lupe smiled and drew a heavy-bladed knife from a sheath at his waist. He began cleaning his fingernails with the tip of the blade as he looked squarely at Frank.
Stop it! As we have already told Señor Morgan, we are not murderers. You will have to follow your own conscience, Señor Morgan.
I'll think about it. For now, though, doesn't look like I'm going anywhere.
No. For now, you will stay right here.
Being a revolutionary didn't pay very well, Frank thought, and the food wasn't very good either. He sat with his back propped against the rock wall of the cave and looked at the single tortilla and the small spoonful of beans that Esteban had brought to him on a battered tin plate. Esteban had a similar plate. He sat down cross-legged next to Frank.
You see now why Antonio needs money for supplies. He will not steal from the people.
But he'll steal from his own father.
Don Felipe can afford it.
It's his money. Doesn't matter whether the government takes it away from him in the form of unjust taxes, or if a band of so-called revolutionaries extorts it from him to support their cause. It's not right either way.
Perhaps not. Do you believe in the lesser of two evils, Señor Morgan?
Maybe not in principle, but in real life, I reckon it does work out that way sometimes.
Then consider us the lesser of the two evils now at large in the border country.
I only have your word for that.
No. You have seen Estancia with your own eyes. You saw what he had done to Pablo. You are a man who recognizes true evil when you see it, Señor Morgan.
What about Stormy and Wolf?
Your horse is with ours and is being cared for. I was the only one he would allow near him. The dog, he ran away, but he is nearby. Some of the men have seen him lurking on the edge of the darkness, like a wolf. One man wanted to shoot him, but Antonio forbade it.
Good.
You have thought about everything you were told, Señor Morgan?
I've thought about it. Still don't think it's right to put Don Felipe and Señorita Carmen through all the worry they're going through while they think Antonio has been kidnapped. I don't like lying and trickery.
You are a simple man in the best sense of the word, Señor.
Thanks, I think. Anyway, I can understand why you think you have to fight back against Estancia. I knew from the start Don Felipe didn't like him. I didn't care for him either.
And you have seen only the smallest part of his wickedness. He is the one feared by the common people, not the Black Scorpion. That is why no one will help the Rurales. So he tries to force them to aid him by whipping them and burning their crops, and sometimes killing them.
Somebody's got to put a stop to that.
See? We are trying.
The fire died down to embers, and the cave darkened. Esteban brought Frank a threadbare blanket.
It is not much, but it is all we can spare.
Not much of a mattress either. But it won't be the first time I slept between a rock and a hard place.
Frank wadded up his hat for a pillow and stretched out, rolling in the blanket's meager protection from the chilly night. It took Frank a long time to get to sleep, but he finally did. When Frank awoke, it was to the snarling crackle of gunshots in the distance. Frank rolled over, came to his feet, and joined the men he saw hurrying toward the mouth of the cave. Some of them seemed to think that the group was under attack, but despite being groggy from sleep, Frank had already figured out that the shots were too far away for that to be true.
Esteban, what's going on?
I don't know, Señor Morgan. The shooting started a few moments ago with no warning.
A knot of men gathered in the cave mouth, holding rifles and pistols ready in case they had to fight. Frank and Esteban joined them, and a moment later, Antonio Almanzar pushed his way to the front of the group. He wore the flat-crowned black hat and was tying the black bandana around his neck so that all he would have to do to complete his disguise as the Black Scorpion was to pull it up.
What is it? Does anyone know?
A shooting seems to be coming from the village. Something is burning there, too.
Frank's jaw tightened as he gazed in the direction of the small farming community Esteban had pointed out to him the day before. As the old man said, a column of smoke was rising into the early morning air, stark black against the pale blue sky. The sun was not quite up.
Esteban, ride with me. Lupe, you and the rest of the men stay here until we find out what is going on.
But Tonio!
Do as I have ordered.
Si.
I'm going with you too.
You are not one of my men to command, Señor Morgan. There may be danger.
That's never stopped me from doing what I want to do.
Antonio nodded curtly and headed down the slope. Esteban and Frank followed. A few moments later, Frank saw a rope corral hidden in the trees. The group's horses were kept there. He spotted Stormy among them and was glad to see the big Appaloosa. Wolf had seen Frank and came bounding forward. Frank paused long enough to grab the big cur and rub his ears for a second, as pleased by the reunion as Wolf was. Quickly, the three men prepared to ride. As they did so, the gunfire in the distance tapered off and finally died away completely, leaving an ominous silence in its wake. Frank exchanged a grim look with Antonio and Esteban as they swung up into their saddles. They knew what that silence might mean.